listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org. Well, for the past couple of weeks, we've been in the Gospel of John, which is a different sort of gospel than the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of similarities. John's sort of out there on its own. It has this mystical quality. It even begins with this beautiful passage about Jesus being with God from the beginning and He becoming Word made flesh and the light that comes into the world, that light that can never be, that darkness can never overcome. So just that gets you ready for the scripture you're going to hear today. But before I read the scripture today, I need to give you a little bit of background from the Old Testament. You may remember that the Israelites, God's people, were held captive in Egypt. And when Moses led them out of Egypt, they wandered for 40 years in the desert. And there was a lot of back and forth with God and the Israelites during that time of 40 years. And Moses was sort of the intermediary between the two. It was sort of like Moses had to mediate between these two groups that weren't getting along. And there's some very strange stories that happen in the Hebrew scriptures about that 40-year journey. And one of them is that the Israelites were wandering in the desert. They started complaining, as they were wont to do, about the food that they were given to eat and how long it was taking them to get there. And why did you bring us out of Egypt to live this miserable life? And so God, hearing their complaints, sent a bunch of poisonous snakes to kill them. And so then the people were like, God, we're really sorry. Moses, can you do something about this? And so Moses talks to God, and God says, okay, make a snake and put it on a pole and lift it up. And then whoever looks at that snake on the pole will live. And so Moses makes a bronze snake and puts it on a pole. And it says that whoever got bitten by a snake could look at that snake, that bronze snake, and they would live. Take from that what you will. Today's lesson is the second half of a story that we find in the third chapter of John. At the beginning of this story, there's a teacher named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus under cover of night. And he says to Jesus, you must be God because nobody else could do the things that you're doing unless they came from God. And then Jesus replies, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. So Nicodemus is either really confused, is taking Jesus very literally, or he's being sarcastic. I don't know. But his response is like, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus continues the conversation in that cryptic way that Jesus has, especially in the Gospel of John. He starts talking about being born of water and of spirit as opposed to birth of flesh. And then he says this, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I think that's very poetic. I don't know what it means, and neither did Nicodemus, and he told Jesus so. And Jesus felt a little frustrated. He said, you mean you're a teacher? And you don't understand this? He said, if you can't understand earthly things, how are you going to understand things about the kingdom? So it's at this point that Jesus seems to stop talking directly to Nicodemus and starts talking to us, to everybody. Nobody else was there, but it seems to be a broader conversation than just this conversation he was having with Nicodemus. And that's where today's scripture reading begins. Hear these words from John chapter 3. This is verses 14 through 21. This is Jesus speaking. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone, some translations say whosoever, believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who hate evil hate the light. For all who do evil, hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Anything sound familiar in that passage? John 3:16, right? Good old John 3:16. Who memorized that as a child?
I did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and those who believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Point proven. We see John 3:16 lots of places, on billboards, on parades, on posters at sporting events, on bumper stickers, and you know, we've all heard it mostly. And if we're honest, though, a lot of times when we see that blazoned somewhere, it feels a little judgmental sometimes, like, I know something you don't know, but now because I've shown you this sign, you should know it, and then you can believe everything just like I do, same way I do. There's a reason that John 3:16 is so popular, is because it's good stuff. I mean, that's God loved the world, gave his Son. Whoever believes should not perish. But also, what Jesus is saying here is kind of stunning. It's a revelation, especially in a culture where retribution was sort of the way things, you know, people. Even today, we want to see wrong punished. We want people to be punished for the things that they've done wrong and people to get what's coming to them. But for Jesus to say that God sees the world as it is, with all of the evil and darkness that is in it, logically, God should hate the world. God should be angry with the world. Logically, God should want to punish the people in the world, maybe by sending snakes. But logically, God might want to punish the people who are living in opposition to God's realm. Yet, Jesus says, God loves the world. God chooses to love the world. Willfully, an act of will, chooses to love the world despite all the evil that happens in the world. And by sending Jesus to teach us and love us, God is showing us what God is actually like. And then we got that little phrase in the middle of John 3:16, whosoever believes in me, Jesus says. It sounds simple, but what does belief mean? I guess it could mean that you believe Jesus existed. But if we're looking at it from a deeper level, we have to believe his teachings. We have to believe that the things that Jesus taught are worthy of changing our life in order to follow what he teaches us to do. And it's hard, because when you follow Jesus' teachings, you get in trouble. The powers that be don't like the things that Jesus teaches. And so Jesus uses himself as an illustration, pulling from this story of the Israelites in the wilderness, and says, just like Moses put that snake on the pole, so I will be lifted up. There's a double meaning here. Not only is he talking about himself being lifted up physically on a cross, but he's also talking about the way that God has exalted him. If we look at Jesus' life in the scope of how long he lived, how long he taught, how many followers he had, and the fact that he died, he was not a superstar winner. He was hated by the religious leaders, and he got killed. Not only did he get killed, he was executed in the most humiliating way that that government knew how to kill people. So for Jesus to be raised up on a cross is a hard thing. And just like the Israelites had to look at the snake on the pole, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we remember that his death was because he broke the rules. He taught things that were hard, and he calls his followers to do the same thing and to pick up our own crosses. He also talks about light and dark. He says this is the judgment, that light came in the world, but people didn't want to see the light. So what are the places in our lives that we want to keep in the safety of the dark? The things that we do, the things we watch, the things we participate in, either on purpose or just because they're simply embedded deeply into who we are. Those things that we don't want light shined on. And who are we excluding from living full and abundant lives because it threatens our full and abundant life? There's an old hymn that I love, and it's called "Whosoever Meaneth Me." Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. It's a catchy little tune. But whosoever also means you and you and everybody. Even the people we don't like. Even the people we don't understand. Even the people we don't want to like or want to understand. If we truly believe that God loves the world, the whole world, and that Jesus is the way to be born anew, to open our minds and hearts to the possibility that maybe we don't know everything. We like to know stuff. We like to know that we're right. We may not know everything. One of the commentators I read this week said, Nicodemus could not enter new life through his intellect. And neither can we. Part of embracing faith is embracing the things that we can't understand. And so halfway through this season of Lent, we have yet another opportunity to turn away from the things that we want to keep hidden in the darkness and turn towards the light. To open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, which moves like the wind that Jesus talked about in today's scripture. Where does it come from? Where is it going? I don't know. But together, we can find out. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.